You turn with me in your Bibles, we turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 2. We read from the verse 10 to the verse 13. Come, let us hear God's holy word. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. We'll end that reading there, and we'll turn now in our Bibles to the New Testament, to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we read two verses. Verse 33 and verse 34. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, and we pray that he will bless it to us here in this place this evening. Please turn with me to the last reading that we read. I draw your attention there this evening, young people, to that last reading. Of course, keeping in mind the first reading from Proverbs chapter 2. We read here in 1 Corinthians 15 in the verse 33, Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness. And sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Now, young people, one of the greatest concerns that I have, and I'm sure that any other pastor would have, is that young people especially are instructed in the Word of God, that you are instructed in the truth and not led away from the truth. We read here that we are not to be deceived, that evil communications, its associations, the word is homilias, where we get the word homiletics from. Now, of course, you have conversations with people that you know, company that you keep. Evil company, in fact, corrupts good manners, or literally, good habits, or your character. And there is nothing more important in all the world than your character. And it is my concern, as I'm sure it is for the concern of every pastor, that we are not corrupted by those who would lead us astray. And we are so easily led astray by people because people have such a great influence over us in life. And more often than not, it's a negative influence. Now, as we look at this verse tonight, I want to take up this subject of taking heed to the company that we keep. And I want you to ask in your own heart tonight, with Judgment Day honesty, who are your acquaintances? Who are your acquaintances in the world? And who are your friends? Now, we cannot and we must not ignore people in the world. In fact, the Bible never tells us to ignore people in the world. We're not to become hermits, you know, where we just live in sort of isolation from people and we don't talk to people. But acquaintances are very different to friends. Those who are particularly close to us. Acquaintances we would not call friends. They are people that we have conversation with when we need to. We have associations with them as and when we need to. But friends are those who we associate with and we spend time with and where we know that those people share our great concerns and our interests. We have something in common with those people. Those are truly our friends. Now, whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, people will influence you in life for good or for worse. Notice very carefully with me in the verse 33 what the Apostle Paul says. He says, be not deceived. In other words, don't be fooled by this. Here is one thing you can be sure of. Absolutely crystal clear. It's always been, since man has been upon the earth. Have a look. Evil communications or company corrupt good manners or corrupts a good character. Let me ask you, as we look at this and we think about the subject here tonight, do your friends love God? That's the great question. The people that you call friends, do they love God? James, perhaps you want to turn there with me. James chapter 4 and the verse 4. James says here in the New Testament, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." There you see it in black and white. If the world is our friend, know this for sure, that you are an enemy of God. Now, we come back to our passage here in 1 Corinthians 15. I hope you kept your finger there. 1 Corinthians 15. The context of 1 Corinthians 15 is very, very simple. The Corinthian church here, the believers at Corinth, were prone to be led astray by those who didn't know God. We even read this in the verse, that the unrighteous, they don't know God. And they were prone to be led by these people who had a very low opinion of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they denied the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if you were to read this entire chapter here, the Apostle Paul is warning the Corinthian church of these many who are leading others astray. And he's saying, in effect, if you look at this verse, don't keep close company with those who don't speak the truth. Because this evil company corrupts people, will corrupt your character, will corrupt your life and all of your habits. There were even some in the church of Corinth who were denying the very resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how much they had been influenced by these outsiders who didn't love God. And when you think about it, denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an attack on the very gospel itself, because it goes right to the very heart of the gospel. Because if Jesus Christ, if he wasn't risen from the dead, number one, he wasn't perfect. He had sin. But also, if Christ didn't die for our sins and rise again, we're still in our sin. It means we don't have a Savior. And therefore, look, he had to write the verse 3. If you look at the verse 3, he says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." And then if you look a little bit further on at the verse 12, the Apostle Paul spends many verses between verse 3 and verse 12 proving the fact of the resurrection. And he even goes into detail and explains that at one time there were over 500 eyewitnesses that saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you look at the verse 12, he goes on to say, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" You see what he's doing? He's proving here that there will be a resurrection for the believer precisely because Christ was risen from the dead. But there were people that were corrupting their thoughts, corrupting their faith in Christ. And if you look on to the verse 32, he then says, "What advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die." So in other words, what he's saying in verse 32, if there is no resurrection, there's no judgment. So we may as well live the kind of lives we just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and there's no eternity, there's no judgment, there's nothing like that. And then he goes on, notice verse 33, and this is our text, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." You see, there were people that were trying to deceive the Christians here. The communications that they were having with other people were corrupting. Now, I know the English is very hard here. It's old-fashioned English. Corrupt good manners. These outsiders are corrupting the knowledge that you have, the faith that you have. And therefore, look, he says in verse 34, "Awake to righteousness." and sin not. Don't go after these people. Be careful who your company is. For some have not the knowledge of God. These people that are deceiving you don't know God. And they're going to influence you in a terrible way. And you know, it's always been the case, young people. We need to be aware of the fact that there are people out there who will seek to corrupt your minds and to corrupt my mind away from the truth. Not everybody has a knowledge of God. And so Paul here, young people, is concerned that others will corrupt the character and the minds of these Corinthians because of the company that they keep. And I'm sure that this is the concern, as it is for me, a pastor, for your pastor, young people. Who are the friends that you have? Because those friends will not lead you in the way that is right. Who are, again I say, your acquaintances, and who are your friends? So now we've considered the context, and I want to think about that principle as we go on in life. Now, young people, did you know that apart from a relationship with God and having your sins forgiven by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing that is more valuable than our character, because our character is who we are. Hear what I'm saying? Our character is who we are. And what you know and what you believe and hold dear changes everything, doesn't it? That's your character. Your character is the way that you think, the way that you act. Now, if someone was to take away everything from you, your good looks, your health, your wealth of your parents or whatever, your friends, your popularity, but they leave you with one thing, and that's your character, and by I mean a character, I mean a good conscience and a good character, all that you've done to that person, if somebody has done that to you or you've done that to somebody else, is relatively harmless. And I'll tell you why. You may have hindered somebody's worldly prospects, but that person still has a character. That person still has a nature that will cause him or her to rise up again in life. But above all, that person will always be right with God. Always. Because they are concerned about the relationship with God. They have a good character. They want to be right with God. They want to be right with other people. And so therefore they will rise again in the world. You can take things from people, but it's their character that makes them. And so the most important thing to you young people right now, especially as you're growing up, is your character. Take a man's character away. Take a girl's character away. They're in trouble. You see, character is like a mighty great shield around somebody that keeps them from danger. It keeps them from falling in life. It keeps them from great sins. If you have a conscience before God, you're sensitive about that conscience to walk right with God. And it is that character that will keep you near to God, and it is that which will eventually take you to God because you are walking with God. So a good conscience, young people, and a good character is that which makes us choose the right things in life, and it will keep us in life, and it will take us to eternity. Now, we cannot begin to say that we have a good conscience if we are ignoring the very fact that God has told us to repent. And so that's where I would urge you to start, to repent of our sins and to walk before God. But I want you to also see, whether you're a Christian or not, a character is of infinite value. Because somebody could take away a lot of things from you, but you have your character. And it is your character that will cause you to rise again. Very often people are strengthened by things being taken away from them. But it's their character is that which will move them on in life. Now, I want to bring this to your attention. Do you know, young people, right now in this life, the way that we live our lives, we are preparing for an immortal existence. In everything that we do, there will be an accounting for. In everything that we think, in every action that we perform, it will have an influence for heaven or for hell. If If you turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, right in the middle of the Bible, chapter 12 and the verse 13. Now, Solomon, who is the inspired writer here by the Holy Spirit, is the wisest man, we are told, in the Word of God that ever lived. That is, of course, apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon wrote this, Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now notice it. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So, young people, in this life, we are preparing for an immortal existence. In every action that we perform, it will have an influence for heaven or for hell. This is why, young people, right now, especially while our characters are being formed, we are to do all that we can to protect our character, to protect our person, our conscience. You know, you can harden your conscience, and that's a very terrible thing. If your conscience is telling you you need to do something, conscience only knows two things, right and wrong, yes and no. And we must never ignore conscience. Your character is never more delicate and tender now than it will ever be in life. I'll tell you why. Because history has proven that right now, at this time of your life, it is the most radically influenced in your life. It is when you are most easily influenced. Later on in life, we get set in our character. And hopefully it's a good character. So as we come tonight, there are just three things as we look at this verse. The strong warning, firstly, I want to think about, and danger of evil company. And then secondly, I want us to think about the temporal and eternal blessing of good company. And then thirdly tonight, the one companion that we all need. So firstly tonight, as we think around this verse, be not deceived, evil communications or company corrupts good manners or character. We've said it already, but I'll say it again. There's no greater negative influence than a bad example. And there are so many bad examples around us, young people. I'm sure you see it. You turn on the television or the radio, you hear of some sports star, and think of this young man, Ched Evans. I don't know if you've heard about it. I do not watch TV. I hear about things. But apparently this young man, Ched Evans, he's an ex-football player. He raped a young girl, apparently. And he served a prison sentence. And he wants to get back into football. And various clubs won't sign him because of the stigma that he's left behind. Because of the very fact that this young man represents a very bad role model for young people. So this is not something novel that I'm bringing you. It's something that has always been. There have always been bad examples. And people, society has tended to see that young people are more influenced by bad examples than they are by good examples. And the reason is because we have a propensity to go astray. We have a bias, young people, to go astray, to be led away by bad examples. People do learn from others, but sadly, most of the time, it's for the negative. And let me say this, none of us are immune to this. None of us can say, well, I will never be led astray by somebody who does something wrong. You never know. You may not have a lot of friends around you, and you may be influenced by somebody who's popular because you want to be popular. We see that a lot, don't we? I'm sure you've seen it in the school. A young person coming into your school, and there's the bully, the thug. But the thug takes him under his wing and befriends him. And because that young person doesn't want to be bullied, he becomes like the thug. Please turn with me again to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13 and the verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Again, King Solomon, the wisest man, he writes this. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You see it very clearly there. He that walketh with wise shall be wise. Why? Because you learn from them. You're influenced by them. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That means he's going to come into trouble himself. His character will be destroyed. His life will be destroyed. This is something, young people, that has happened ever since mankind has been on this earth. And no matter what you think, you can't change that fact. I can't change that fact. We can't will this away. So be careful who your friends are. I'm sure you've seen this fact with your own eyes. You've seen, as I mentioned a moment ago, some naive boy or girl, because they want to become accepted by a group, they get in the wrong crowd, they start to act like the crowd, and then very soon, they're just like the others. And we need to be aware of this. Another thing is, people often don't change. When somebody gets in a group, they tend to perpetuate in those sins. They continue to go on in those sins. And you say, well, they won't stay with that crowd. Well, believe me, when those young people, they grow up, they don't tend to change a whole lot because they feel comfortable with those kinds of friends. And those bad habits have already developed and it's too late. You find very often, I know this, I'm in contact with some of the young lads I went to school with. And some of them are still hanging out with the same friends. And those that were of a relatively good character have stuck with those of a relatively good character. And likewise, those who were dropouts and weren't interested in God and were just concerned about worldly things have stuck with those people. They have tended not to change. You see, company, young people, has such a corrupting and dangerous effect upon our lives, especially at your age, because you are so, as I was, so prone to influence. And so this is why when you hear of some famous celebrity being a bad influence and bad example, the politicians, and rightly so, are very quick to, number one, not condone what they've done, and they do not want these people, these bad examples, to somehow come across as being role models because they don't want society to follow on in their way. And it only takes, young people, let me say this. You may say, well, I know better than that. Look, it only takes somebody to impress you or to make you feel good, to draw you in. And the Word of God tells you to beware. And especially to beware of the flatterer. Somebody that makes you feel good is a flatterer. Again, if you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 29 and the verse 5. I know this is very practical, but I hope that these things will hold you in good stead for the coming year. So many times, and this is just one example, in the book of Proverbs, you and I are warned about those that flatter us. Now, you know what somebody is who is a flatterer. They tell you all sorts of things you want to hear about yourself. They may be true things. They may be false things, but their aim, you see, is to get you on their side so that you will end up doing what they want you to do. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Here is somebody that flatters you with their tongue. What are they doing? They're putting a net in front of you, and they're waiting for you to walk into that net. They've got you where they want you, and they're going to then pull you in. So you've got to be careful, young people. Why am I concerned for you? Well, simply, it's not simply that you will be kept from the evils of this world, young people, but it's so that you will not cast off the fear of God. That's my main concern. I'm not here as a minister and as a pastor to moralize you. But ultimately, as I said earlier, what we do in life will have a consequence as to our heaven, or God forbid, a hell. And what people of the world predominantly do is they cast off the fear of God from those who do fear God. Now we ask the question, what is the fear of God? If you turn with me to Proverbs 9 again, Proverbs 9 and the verse 10. The first thing I want you to see is that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, again, what is the fear of the Lord? I ask the question, what is the fear of the Lord? What does it mean? Because we're told that the righteous fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not that we fear God like he's some bully or he's some thug. No. The fear that we have for God is that God is somebody that we would never want to displease. Why? Because God is so wonderful. Why would I ever want to offend this glorious God who's so good to sinners? God is so great. God is infinitely good. And so, you see, my greatest woe, young people, is to put a frown on the face of God. My greatest woe is to upset God, to hurt him. God can be grieved. The fear of God, you see, it's like this. You've been to an ocean, you've been to the seaside, and you look at the sea. It's so vast, isn't it? It's huge, it's immense. And you say to yourself, I fear that sea. There is something so wonderful that draws you to that sea. Am I right? Isn't it amazing how you see, you go to the seaside, you see people gaze at the seaside for hours. There's something so drawing about the sea. And it's infinitely more in this case because God is so great, he is so wonderful, he's so awesome. And that draws us near to him. And this fear of God produces this sense in me that why would I ever want to offend one that has been so good to me that he sent his only begotten son to die for sinners? Why would I ever want to offend this glorious God who's so good to sinners? That's the fear of the Lord. It's to have a reverential fear. It's a fear of respect. To honor him. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the true sense. I don't fear God like he's going to meet me around the corner and beat me up. The fear of God, the sense of fear that I am to have is that I hold him in reverence and respect and awe. Now, without the fear of God, you see, your heart will be open and susceptible to every kind of sin and bad impression, young people. If you don't fear God, if you're not living with this knowledge that God sees everything and knows everything, you're going to just live how you want and please yourself. And you see, friends, bad friends, will cause you to cast off the fear of God. In fact, when you read in Paul's epistle to the Romans, he says this of the unrighteous, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't love God, they don't respect God. In fact, they take God's name as a swear word. Proverbs 23, the verse 17. Solomon says, let not thine heart envy sinners. Don't be jealous. Don't be envious of people in the world. But look, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. What's he saying? He says, don't envy the world. But live your life in such a way, young people, that you reverence God and that you honor God. Look up to God. Don't look up to sinners. Don't envy the world. But honor God. Hold God in your highest esteem. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Now look, notice, for, because, surely there's an end. There's an end to this life. There's an eternity to await. And notice, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. God honors those young people who honor him. So as we think about this first point tonight, evil company corrupting good characters. Evil company, by and large, they're not ashamed of sin. Think of your friends who are ungodly. Is that not one of the striking features about those who are unsaved or who don't go to church? Maybe you're not saved, maybe you're not a Christian, but you go to church. You're still different to your friends, right? What makes you different to them? I'll tell you what makes you different, is that your conscience is not as hard as theirs. They are very hardened to these things. They're not sensitive to God. They're not ashamed of the things that they do. They will quite easily and readily use the name of the Lord Jesus as a swear word. But you're different. You may not be a Christian, but you don't want to be influenced by them. You don't want to be like them. Now, maybe this has been you. And I'll give you an example of how evil company or bad company corrupts good habits. Perhaps, maybe you have been accustomed to some friends that you have, who take the name of the Lord God in vain. They swear, as I said a moment ago, or they just use bad language generally. But someone you know, for instance, a Christian, comes up behind you unexpectedly and they see you enjoying the company of those ungodly friends. You were laughing just a moment ago at those lewd jokes, and you felt important because you felt part of that group. You felt part of those people. But then all of a sudden, this person you know who is a Christian comes up and their eyes meet your eyes. They have seen what you've been laughing at. But all of a sudden now you begin to blush with shame because you've been reproved. You know you were wrong. You see what I mean? You've progressed with these people. In fact, rather, you've regressed. And it's gradual. And if you spend too much time with them, you will not become ashamed. So young people, mark it down. Beware of evil company. And one of the things with evil company is it always brings sin. And sin makes you less of a person. It never makes you a better person. Sin degrades you, doesn't it? Look at somebody lie. Do you think it makes them a better person? Look at somebody that tells bad and dirty jokes. Do you think it makes them a better person? No, it doesn't. It makes them less of a person. Sin is deceitful. Very deceitful. And sin takes love and respect away from God and from other people. And especially from God, who deserves love and respect. So sin is deceitful. It'll promise you maybe pleasure with your friends for a little while, an independence of character, or you feel big and hard. But what sort of independence, young people, is it if you can't shrug off a few worthless, wicked companions? What sort of friends are they? You are not willing to lose those friends for eternity, or for the sake of a few sneers that you might get from them. You know, let me say this with all respect to you. If you are that sort of person, you are the greatest coward that walks the face of this earth. Because you are more afraid of being ridiculed by those so-called friends. Those friends will not be laughing with you when it comes to God's judgment. And besides, if they were your friends, what real friends would mock you? James 4:4, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So young people, mark it down, to be a friend of the world with the world is to walk with the world, and that is to be an enemy of God. Now my next counsel for you tonight is to avoid the beginning of evil. So be careful, choose your friends carefully. I'm not saying cut people off. Have acquaintances by all means. But your real friends, whether you're a Christian or not, should be Christians. And I say this because Christians are those people that have the greatest and highest interest for you. The world does not have your soul at its concern. Now, I don't suppose that there's anybody here before me who has said in his own heart, I'll go out and be a rebel, and I'll go out and be a bad person, a rejecter of God. Nobody ever begins life saying, I'll be a junkie, I'll be a bum, I'll be a liar, I'll be a drug addict. But young people, it's always the way. The slippery slope of bad company leads to people falling. My counsel is, avoid the beginning of evil. The second is, whether you like it or not, this is an advice, whether you choose to take it or not, it's up to you. But Christians should be your friends. Christians should be your friends. And the world, your acquaintances, because of what James says, because of what God's word says. Because those are the best and the most reliable friends. John says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. 1 John 5:19. Therefore, young people, you need to guard your hearts, whether you're saved or not. Guard your hearts and minds, number one, from yourself and from the world. Be careful what you allow yourself to watch on the television, if you have one, or the radio, or what magazines you might read. Be careful, because those things you watch, those conversations you have, will plant thoughts into your minds, and they will corrupt. He says here, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good habits. Emerson, the poet, said, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny or an eternity. Be careful. You are at such an impressionable age. Now, secondly, I'll be brief with this. The temporal and eternal blessing of good company. I've already said that Christians should be our friends. We go back to Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, who are the wise? We've already read in Proverbs that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You can't say somebody is truly wise if they don't fear God. Isn't that right? According to the word of God, true wisdom, the beginning of wisdom, is the knowledge of the holy. That's where we get understanding. A person may have done well in business and so on, but they're not truly wise if they don't fear God. They don't know wisdom. They're not the people that should be your friends. They won't do you good. They may lead you well astray from God. The most successful people in this world can easily lead you the wrong way. Just because they have a whole lot of money. We have a saying in our house, never judge a man by the size of his wallet, neither judge a man by the size of his mouth, or his house, or his car. But judge him in terms of, does he fear God? Does that girl fear God? Does that boy fear God? Again, I say, my counsel is, the best friends are Christian friends. You know how it is in the world? You know how children are? The one says to the other, will you be my friend? And a little girl may turn around and say to the other one, no, I won't be your friend. The next minute she says, yes, I'll be your friend. You know how it is. People are very fickle. But Christians are not like that. And you know how it is for people. People will be your friend because they're of a similar age. Well, where do you get a definition like that for a friend? A friend is being a friend, isn't it? A friend is not simply somebody because they are the same age as you. You see, Christians, I have friends of all different ages because they're friends, not because they're the same age as me. That wouldn't make them friends, would it? But a friend is somebody that is there for you, somebody that is concerned for you, somebody that's truly concerned for your soul, somebody that prays for you. You know, somebody in the world will never pray for you. People in the world don't pray for you. Christians will pray for you. So this is why, seek to make your friends Christians. And you see, those people, their desire will be to draw you to Christ. Now, a Christian won't be friends with somebody in the same sense if that person is not interested in Christ. I ought not to change, if I'm a Christian, to suit the other person, to be more worldly. I'm not trying to win them, but to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody that is a Christian will always point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody that is not interested in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ is not a Christian. A Christian will pray for you, and you will gladly say to them, yes, I want you to pray for me. Now, of course, you need to understand that a Christian will not bend over backwards to try to be like you, to be your friend. That's not the idea of a friend. But it's because he belongs to the friend of sinners. And you are a sinner, as he is a sinner. And he desires you to come to know the Lord. There's a hymn we sing sometimes at church. It's here in the hymn book. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him, thou shalt be, thy friends, in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide, and run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control, thus led by his Spirit, two fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. Now, something I want to add. If you ever expect to be friends with a Christian and you're not a Christian, you can't ever expect them to do the things of the world. They will say no, and rightfully so, because they are concerned for their soul as well as yours. And you know what the eternal blessing of having a Christian as your friend is? That if you're ever saved, those people will help keep you on the straight and the narrow road that leads to life. As I said before, they will pray for you. Unsaved people will never pray for you, but they will always be your friends, especially if you become a Christian. And they will be your friends forever and forever, because you both will go to heaven if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to close with this now. The one true friend that we all need, and it's the friend which a Christian has. Turn with me to Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That's true, isn't it? If you're ever going to have true friends, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And what are true friends? Friends are those who do you good, right? They don't harm you. They're kind to you. They do nice things for you, and so on. Now I want you to notice, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And who would that be but the Lord Jesus Christ? And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Everything that I've said here tonight, if we miss this one point, we missed it all. What are we doing in this life? We're preparing for an eternity. There is one that came into this world, young people, who said this: greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And that was the Lord Jesus. There was nobody that loved me more than the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. People will let you down. And sadly, even sometimes Christians let you down, because they are sinners. But there is one that will never let you down. There is one that went to the cross, so that even when you sin like Peter, remember how Peter said, Lord, I will never deny thee. But Peter did. But he received Peter back. Forgave him. Why? Because he died for Peter's sins. And that's the friend, my dear friends, that takes us into eternity. That is the friend that Paul has been telling us about here, who died on this cross and who rose. And he's telling the Corinthians that this one, he actually went to the grave and he died, look at the verse 3, for our sins according to the scriptures. He who came from another realm, from the realm above, he is the friend of sinners. And he came to die for his friends and to take them to heaven. Now, young people, if you don't have any friends, if God hasn't blessed you with any friends, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. But what matters is that you know this one, the friend of sinners. And he came to die for his friends, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you know him? Can you say, the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he's my Lord, yes, he's my Savior, but he's my friend. And let us be those who we can say are acquainted with him very deeply and wonderfully. Be acquainted with him, young people, through the work which he did for sinners at the cross. The Lord Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man should lay down his life for his friends." Are you with Christ? The Lord Jesus said, as you know, as I read last time, "He that is not with me is against me." God, is he your friend? Is he your companion? Is he the one you go to at the end of the day and you tell him all your sins and you confess them? You can't do that with other friends. Things you've done wrong, you can't tell other people. They can't forgive you of your sins. But only God. So as we close now, be careful. Beware that bad company, evil company, will corrupt your character and will ultimately draw you away from the Lord Jesus Christ and draw your love away from God. The world will try to deceive you about God. Your friends will say, "Don't go to church. Ignore your parents. Ignore the Bible." Young people, have acquaintances in the world, but do not make the world your friend. Come to the friend of sinners and make Christians your blessed friends. I pray you will. May God help us all. Amen.